Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
He has made intercession for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name that's above every other name, you preach today. I can't preach. You preach today because there's something you've got to say to your people that are in this house. And Lord, there's something that you want to do in our lives today that will transform us from who we are to who you desire for us to be. Holy Spirit, be the teacher, and we'll give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. For we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Everybody shout amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. You say, preacher, where are you going with this? Hang on, I'm going for the ride myself. A couple of things I wanted to say to set up what God is doing today. This next, in a couple of weeks, we're going to do something in this house. We call it Holy Week. This is Holy Week 2016. It's another one of these Bible studies the Lord had me line out for you to go with us for this, for the last week that leads right up to Easter. And I remember I said last week, and some of you got frightened. Well, get over your fear. Because on Good Friday night, we're going to have a service, not in this building, but in the community center. The reason why we're going to do that, because we're going to have a worship, communion, and foot washing service. So what? Don't get crazy on, because I got something to tell you about foot washing. I was the worst advocate against it when I was a kid. On that day, I was conspicuously absent. Because every first Sunday morning, or they would have foot washing service in our church. I said, oh Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Because we had some old folks in our church. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Help me, Jesus. And I wanted to, I'm just going to tell the truth. But I've got a story to say about this, and I'll get on to the message. One of the brothers in the church, I will leave them anonymous, so they want to tell who they are, they can tell later on. One time they were at a men's retreat, and the Lord said, we're going to have a foot washing service. And he's thinking, oh my goodness. Because the week before that, he had gone to have a pedicure, and his wife convinced him to put Frosty the Snowman on his big toe. Knows how to get a hold of you. Can you imagine? How do you get out of this? Frosty is because. Can you imagine? Now, this is going to be a solemn, holy, righteous, filled with the Holy Spirit moment, and you pull off your socks, and here's Frosty. But I know why. Foot washing is an issue because we get so proud. But you talk about your pride is gone, honey. Baby, when they see Frosty, it's over. People that are busting up laughing, this type of thing, and there you are, foot all exposed. So at that particular point, you got nothing to lose. Let Frosty take the rap. That's all I can take. But my point in saying all this is we're not only opening up to our church, but I want you to do something really bold. Invite your neighbor to come, saved or unsaved. You say, what? They already think I'm weird. Now they'll know. But it's going to be about a worship time, and I believe what God has given me to teach that night. It'll be a life-changing service. But this whole study for the whole week has been put together. God gave us the scriptures for it, and it's going to be an amazing, amazing service. Let me make one other acknowledgement, and I want to go into just for a moment of teaching. And then God's going to heal some folks today. Did you know that? Don't look surprised, because he had it already set up. The McMichaels are here. They're my dear friends. Come on, Harry and Kathy, would you stand for a moment? Would you give them a great hand of welcome this morning? Calvary Connection, When I leave you to go over to Tanzania, that's what I go over there for. There are two beloved people of God that God has used them magnificently. And I just want to, the reason why I had them stand, I want them to verify or to solidify what I told you months ago. There's a young lady named Hoshiana. And this young lady, she was betrothed to marry, Harry, come tell the story real quick. Come tell the story. Come on, give him a hand as he comes, because I want you to tell the story real quick.
Oceana was one of our graduates from Calvary Missions, Tanzania Bible College, and she was safe as long as she was in college. But the minute that she graduated from college, she was betrothed to a 65-year-old man, and she's only like 16 or 17 years old. The cows had been paid for her, and they said, as soon as graduation is over with, we're coming for her. Well, graduation was ended, over with, and she went back to our dorm. She waited a while, and this was in September. She stayed with us until December. She went home in December. We were very afraid that she was going to be there, but she stood against her parents, and she stood against the man that she was going to marry, and she came back to our school, and she is safe in our rescue center right now.
Amen. Yes, sir. Bless you. How many of you remember we prayed for her? And I remember praying for her before we left. This is what God does. God can go against culture. God can go against tradition. God can go against those who pay cows for you. And he can bring redemption to your household. Now, here's the amazing thing about it, is that God has got some things in store for you today. I'm gonna meld the first part of my message into what the latter part will be about the healing that God has for you. My message today was on the endless love of Jesus, and begins to set up the whole context of what it means to be able to allow God to use you in a particular realm which you wouldn't think that God would demonstrate for us. My text of scripture is in John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. I'm not going to read the whole text of it for you, but I will read a few verses because it really sets up what we're going to talk about and then what God's going to unfold to us in the next few moments. Here's the story. It starts this way. It says, now there, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world having loved the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God. That's my introduction. One of the things that's most important is that you know where you came from. Come on. And you know where you're going. And so I want to tell you that the way that the whole idea about what Jesus did will be revealed in just a moment is that there's several things you need to know, is that everything that Jesus did was motivated by love. Everything he did. Regardless of what he went through, regardless of how he was treated, regardless of how people just scorned him and rebuked him, he still was motivated by love. And then the other thing it sets up in this particular portion of scripture is that there was a fellow there who pretended to love him but really didn't. And his name was Judas. Y'all got some Judases in your life. Some of you may not have identified them yet. But there are people who would pretend or would cloak themselves under the idea that they love you, but they really don't. And even when you know it, God doesn't allow you to dismiss them, but you must love them as well. And the Lord says he loved them to the end and says, knowing his particular destiny, but this is, I'm going to pick it up here and read the context. It says, he rose from the supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? You know, we have the benefit of knowing a lot of things in Scripture after the fact. We read the Bible knowing that Peter is going to be the person that betrays him. The Lord already told him this, and it hasn't happened yet. And Peter, at this particular point, he's taking the profound position that he says, Lord, I don't think so. You're not going to wash my feet. I'm going to unravel that for you in just a moment. He says, Lord, do you wash my feet? And then the Lord says some things in context here. We'll unpack them later. And Jesus said to him, what I'm doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Here's a revelation I believe the Lord gave me. And it kind of goes tandem with technology. I think most of us have cell phones, and that's okay. That's not a big deal. But a cell phone will not work properly when you've got other programs running in the background. You may want to access a program, but I had this message that came on my phone that says, you may want to access this, but you have to close down some of this other stuff if you want to get where you're going. Is that right, Pavel? Isn't that how it works? My son, he knows all about cell phones. He helps daddy when he gets in trouble. But if in order for you to access the particular app that you want, you're going to have to shut down some stuff. Here's what I want to tell you. A lot of times when we come to church, the reason why we cannot access the Lord is there's too much running in the background. You are here, but you're not really here. You've got the implement, but there's so much running in the background, you can't get the message through, or you can't get what God really wants to tell you. I need to tell you, you need to shut off all the noise of what's running in the background and listen to what Jesus has got to tell you. Just because you walk through those doors doesn't mean that God has got access to where he needs to change your life. And the Lord, I believe, is going to give me some, at least some things to help you get the noise out of the background so he can really act, you can really get the connection that you need to have with God. We got too much stuff going on. Well, let me digress for a moment, but just put it into the realm of reality. In the last 2 weeks, I'm not a heavy television watcher, and I'm not. But there's two particular things that I saw. One was on a particular fellow that, you know, killed his best friend and killed this other girl just to cover up the fact that he needed money for his wedding. He's going to take the guy's money. That was on 2020. But then last week, I watched it again, and the story broke my heart. It was all about heroin and how it's killing people. I saw that story, and I tell you what, you say, well, is this a news thing, and it's happening in a particular place, and you know, so many people die every minute, or so many every 2 or 3 minutes as far as that's concerned. But it got a hold of me, because those are real people. It's not just a story that appeared on television, it's real people that lost their son and their daughter and their family in this type of situation. But you know, we've got so much stuff running in the background, it doesn't affect us. It doesn't get through to where we can say, we know how to pray, or we know how to believe God, or we know how to get a hold of him that will transform the lives of others. Let me go real quickly to the context, and I'll get into the issues here in just a moment. And so Simon Peter said, Lord, Peter says, you'll never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, he says, if I do not wash your feet, wash you, you have no part with me. And Simon Peter comes back with an answer. He says, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Doesn't that sound noble? You know what it is? It's nonsense. But I'll tell you why in a minute. And so the Lord says, he who is bathed needs not only to cleanse his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. Let me stop that particular text there. That's probably as far as we're going to get. The first thing I want to tell you, go right into the text we're going into, is confidence in our identity. Mark chapter 10, verses 44 through 45. I think they'll get that up there in just a moment. I'm going to give them some time because I kind of threw them a curve, so don't blame them. It's my fault. Okay? Confidence in our identity. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. How many understand what that means? How many of you want to understand what it means? I love honest people. I'm going to unpack that for you. That you know, he who desires to be first shall be a slave of all. You know what I'm saying to you? If you want to be first, learn how to be last. If you want to sing solos, learn how to sing backup. See, the people who want to have the limelight, who want to have first place, they're going to suffer a lot because they can only see themselves in one position. But it's amazing how Jesus does this. He says, he shall be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served. If you came here today to be served, I got something for you. You're going to be disappointed if that's your only focus. But if you came here and said, God, you know, I know I've got needs, I know I've got problems, this type of thing, but if there's somebody that I can serve while I'm here, help me to find them. So anyway, he says this, and he lays it out to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. It takes understanding of our true identity to humble ourselves, and that means that Jesus was not the least confused about who he was, but I think many of us are confused about who we are. Our identity many times is in our job, in our position, in our financial capability, in the number of friends we have, number of children we have, the number of relationships we have with different people, the number of people we have on Facebook. God help you. And God help you when you don't answer some of them. Some of y'all been defriended and you felt, well, that was the end of the world. That's okay. He knew his purpose, he knew his identity, but here's the other piece you need to know. He was not distracted or caught up trying to be who others wanted him to be. And that's unfortunately our problem, is we get ourselves distracted on trying to be who other people want you to be. He said, well, you know, if you did this, or if you changed your hairstyle, if you did this, if you moved to a different neighborhood, drove a different car, this type of thing, everybody'd really like you. Let me move on, because I could camp there. If we do not understand who we are in Jesus, we will never be able to humble ourselves. And that's what this discussion with Peter was all about. But he says, we have no real identity outside of Christ once we give our lives over to him. Now, here's the problem. Many of us think we have, but we haven't. Can I help you with that? I don't know, there was a time in the history of people coming to Jesus. I've seen it done all kinds of different ways. Repeat after me, you know, say the sinner's prayer, go through the whole four spiritual laws. I've every formula you can possibly think of to bring people into the kingdom. But you know what? The Bible says this very simply. Our spirit, when it makes a connection with his spirit, that's how we know we are born again. There isn't a book, there isn't a person, there isn't an experience that can tell you you know Jesus other than your spirit making a connection with the Holy Spirit. That's how it works. And so some people say, well, or you say, well, I feel better. I just feel lighter, this type of thing. Honey, your feelings it will change. Let it rain 30 days in a row. Your feelings will change. Okay? Some of you are on borderline depression right now because it's been... We are secure in knowing that he was in control of our life no matter what. We need to know that. But Jesus did not allow what was ahead of him to hinder him from what was before him in the moment. Everything that could have hindered Jesus from being involved in what transpired on this particular place could have been the fact, you know, in a few hours from now, they're going to take me to a cross. First of all, I'm going to be betrayed by someone. Then I'm going to go through six different trials. I'll tell you about those next week, perhaps. And then, now get this. From the time that this statement was made, approximately, it was 12 hours before they were nailing Jesus on the cross. 12 hours. Huh? You're washing people's feet, and 12 hours later, they're nailing you to a cross. How's that for a bad day? And you go through six trials. Your little meltdown don't mean much, does it? I'm going to give you just a dose of reality. So Jesus was totally present with what was happening at the last meal of his disciples. And even though he was totally there with them, he knew that his Father was waiting for him in heaven. So it wasn't the fact that, you know, I know what's happening right here now. He says, but you know what? There's a storm out on the ocean. And I need to be prepared for that. But here's the part you need to know. Jesus did not allow the presence of the devil to derail his love and devotion for his disciples. Judas is among the crowd, a few. And so I need to take those of you who have gone through a very tough week or going through tough circumstances, family issues as far as that's concerned, consider this. His love for them could not be quenched by the power of Satan already overtaking Judas. It wasn't something he was thinking about. The deal had been done. The money had been paid. He's just waiting for the opportunity to sell Jesus down the river. It's not like the fact that he's thinking about doing it. It's already been done. What does that mean? Knowing that there's a person that's already betrayed him didn't hinder him from interacting with him. Now let me tell you a little bit about that'll kind of take this off the table for some of you. Foot washing was a voluntary act that was not required by law or custom. And it's just the same thing I say to myself. Nobody's requiring you. You don't have to come on Good Friday, and nobody will think any less of you. You say, oh, good, thank you, Jesus, glory. Stay tuned. It was a job that was usually relegated to a servant for all the guests that would come to a house. So, if you are ready to move to another class other than servanthood, go ahead. Well, I don't really want that. What do you want? Because you're talking, you want to be like Jesus? Did you read that scripture that said he became a servant to everybody? So the entry level of being like Jesus is becoming a servant. Come on, say it out loud.
Servant.
Let the devil hear you. So what that means is it was done out of kindness and desire for guests to be refreshed and cleansed. It's not about you. It's about somebody else. Really? Hallelujah. Ever been to somebody's house and felt like you were an outsider?
Yeah.
Or you're thinking they can't wait till you're gone? You know, I hope you're not in a hurry as they got your hat and your gloves and their hand. I wish you could stay longer, baby, but it's all good. We got something to do tomorrow, and it's 9:30, okay? Yeah, I've been there. Jesus engaged in the act of foot washing totally unannounced. Without pretense. I've had some things that people have done for me that I can never ever repay them for, and I'll tell you, God doesn't intend me to. But the most wonderful blessings that there are in life are those that people have done it with intentionality. They planned it ahead of time that they wanted to do this for you because they love you. And that's what God wants to ambush your emotions with today, is with the opportunity that he gives you to become one of his agents that go out and sow loving deeds of kindness from your heart that comes directly from Jesus to bring people into the arena of knowing that they are loved by God. That's how it works. But there's some things we'll have to discard in order to get to that particular place. So it was a powerful demonstration of confirmation of the ultimate purpose of fulfillment of his mission, and it was not impulsive or random. Well, Jesus cares about our minor matters with personal interest. That means there are things that we believe that Jesus does not care about that he truly does. Before the service started, a lady stopped me, and she says, you know, I'm having this affliction going on in my body, and I need to be healed. The Lord said, pray for her now. Nothing else matters other than the fact of you approaching me and praying for her right now. There are people that as I'm talking right now, you're saying, well, you know, I hope that there's an opportunity for us to receive prayer. I want to let you know, at the end of the service, in just a few minutes, there'll be an opportunity for you to receive healing, receive ministry today. Because you know why? Because Jesus loves you. And the atmosphere has been set for that to happen. Well, even though there were probably, it would have been a complaint regarding their feet not being washed, Jesus took it upon himself to do what somebody else should have done. Or what about this? Even though they could do it for themselves, he did it for them. I think that's the hardest thing for me. I'll tell you what, call it pride, arrogance, whatever you want to call it. You know, I kind of like being in control. Anybody else like that out there? Come on, raise your hand. The rest of you are lying. Make the devil a liar. Come on, wave that hand at me. There's certain things you just want to do it because people can't do it like you can. They can't do it as good as you can. Is that right? Can't nobody barbecue like me. The devil's a liar. No, let me bring it down to the place of really. It's hard for us to accept things in our life that we have a perception that we can do it better. Here's a question. Can you wash feet better than Jesus? Oh, no, I wouldn't say I could do that. Oh, no. Oh, Jesus knows how to wash feet. Really? Let me tell you how it works. Let me work it out for you. Get a basin of water, get a little pitcher, pour some water on here, little splashy, take a towel, done. You know what's wrong with you? You're religious. And God wants to get that religious spirit out of you and get to the place of humility where you're willing to do it. It's not about who does it the best. It's about the person who's willing to get involved. This isn't competition. This is a fact of submission to the power of God working through you, something that he wants to work through, has wanted for ages to work through you. It's going to break something in you. It's going to break that controlling spirit. It's going to break that lack of humility to a place where you say, oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. But when it's done, you'll have a freedom like you've never had before. Glory to God. Here's a part that'll mess with you a little bit. I'm going to make a statement. Our need to be served by Jesus is real and necessary. How's that for heresy? Every person in this room has a need to be served by Jesus. That means, for lack of better terms, in context, you need to allow Jesus to wash your feet. Listen to this. There's a revelation in this that will change your life. And this is what the whole thing with Peter was about. Scripture, John 13, 8, put up there. Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him and said, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Wow. That's like when he said, "Get behind me, Satan." Close to it. Why would you want to wash the feet of a person that you know in a few hours is going to deny they ever knew you? Now remember, Jesus knew all this. And he already prophesied to him. He says, you know, in a little while, you're going to deny you ever knew me. But Jesus is intentional and wanting to wash his feet, even though he knows he's going to deny that he ever knew Jesus. Boy, this is kind of twisting your mind a little bit, and just kind of work with me for the next few moments, and I'm going to leave you here. He says, well, some of the hardest struggles that we will face will be over the things that Jesus wants to do for us that we think we can do for ourselves. I can wash my own feet. And Jesus, you're way too far up there to do this. Doesn't that sound noble? Jesus, I know you're the Son of God. I know you're the true one. I'm going to wash my feet. I realize I'm just really a nothing. You can't wash my feet. If Jesus says, I need to wash your feet, doesn't he know better than you do? What you're trying to do is you're trying to replace God Almighty with your thoughts, and your thoughts are limited, and your thoughts are shallow, and your thoughts don't have any intent of what God's trying to prove. You need to abandon your thoughts and go with God's program. You're going to tell me, the Son of God, that I'm not going to wash your feet. If that's the way you feel about it, you have no part with me. And you know what? If you're honest, you'll say, I've done that before. Anybody like me? I've done that before. We believe we have things under control that have never been under control. Okay, here we go. You want proof. That habit you've been trying to break, how you working? How's it working for you? I'm never going to do that again. Some of you can't even make a break with a television program you said you weren't going to watch anymore. Oh, come on. Don't be looking at me like funny. I ain't never gonna watch that show again. That show's just full. And then here you go. Here come. What time it come on tonight? And got your VCR. If the days you don't miss, you can come on and see. Or, you know, I don't know, Bad Housewives or somebody's lady. I don't know who it is or whatever it is. But you're not gonna miss that program. And if Jesus appeared to you in a vision and says, cut that program off, you'd rebuke the devil. Because I know God wants me to, God doesn't want me to be religious, and he wants me to have fun, he wants me to, you know, this type. And you know something? If you really admit it, you are hooked on something. Amen. You don't need crack. You got cable. Hey! I felt it. Glory. Help me, Jesus. False humility will get us every single time. Oh, Pastor, Master, you can't wash my feet. All the rest of these people who will let you wash their feet, they're just milquetoast guys, but I know who you really are, and you're not going to wash my feet. I'm going to leave you cliffhanging in just a minute. Here's the thing I will tell you before we end the service. Peter was probably embarrassed that he did not think of washing Jesus' feet. Let me paint the picture for you. They're in an upper room. They had made arrangements to have this dinner together. Custom is there'd be some servant at the door, which there wasn't. And Jesus, you know, without telling anybody what he's going to do, he gets this whole process going. And so when he comes to Peter to wash his feet, before he even got to Peter, I can just imagine, man, I should have thought of that. And everybody would have thought that I was really loved Jesus and this type of thing. I should have washed his feet and this type of thing. And I don't know what I'm thinking of. I know what I'll do. I won't let him wash my feet. And then I'll really look good. That's how we think. It won't work. We can never find peace in our relationship with Jesus trying to compete. Being served by Jesus is one of the most important conditions of having a relationship with him. And there are things that he can do for us that we can never do for ourselves. That's what the whole process is about, and a couple of scriptures that tie into this, that we need Jesus to cleanse us from the things that we thought we had under control. Psalms 51, I'll read you a few verses there, and then I'm going to close. Psalm 51, verse 1 and 2, 7, 10 through 13. Here we go. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Can you blot out your transgressions? Who do you need to do it? Oh. A little further. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. How are you doing with the iniquity piece? You know what iniquity is? It's those inherited characteristics that you got from your mama and your daddy. Oh, all of our family, we just have short tempers. All of our family, we're just kind of, you know, arrogant and proud. All of our family, that's just kind of an inherent thing. God has to cleanse you from the stuff you brought into that people gave to you along the way. That's what's called iniquity. It's baggage. Anybody got baggage? Wave your hand at me. The rest of you need to get saved. And cleanse me from my sin. You know what sin is? Knowing the right thing to do and not doing it. That's what's called sin. So if you knew you were supposed to do something when you came in this particular place and you didn't do it, guess what? You've sinned already. You were supposed to go over there and just kind of greet that person. You know, I'm really tired. Let me get off my, let me sit down over here. It's just that simple. And we get comfortable sinning. Because we think sin's no big deal. And when you go out robbing people and doing drugs and this type of thing, that's when you're a real sinner. But the sin of omission of doing things, it doesn't really count. Okay. Now let me read a few more verses here. Choir, make your way up here, and it may slow me down. Who knows? Okay. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Go to the 10 through 13. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Is that your prayer? Lift your hand if that's your prayer. Well, you know what the word create means? It means that there's some work to be done on the inside that will take away our propensity to be a certain way. So it has to be created. It says, and do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. And verse 13 is the last verse. Because the interesting thing about it is, the Lord, because verse 13 is kind of like a linchpin here. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Everybody bow your heads right now. Would you do that? Then I'll teach transgressors your ways. And sinners will be converted to you. Let that marinate over your soul for a moment. Thank you. Why did Jesus say to several people today that healing was going to be an element of this service before we leave this house? The greatest healing that God can perform in anyone's life is deliverance from the guilt of sin. Deliverance from the power of thinking that you've got it together to the point where you don't need the cleansing power of Jesus to wash away all the filth, all the dirt of this world that hangs on to you, and to cleanse you and to make you new. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to just hover over several people here today that really have discovered that their efforts to make their life, to clean up some stuff, have not worked. And they need to be healed. They need to be cleansed. I'm going to pray a very simple prayer. And that prayer will incorporate the very fact of people that are here that have never given their lives to Jesus. And it will also include people who have given their hearts to Jesus, saying, "Lord, I just don't think I can make it without you." But the healing factor is in the humility factor. And I want to point out to you, there's some things in your life that only God can do. And Jesus says, "I want to do it for you today, but you're going to have to humble yourself and admit how much you need me to do it for you, because you can't do it without me." I want everyone to stand their feet, and I'm going to make this prayer over everyone. Everyone stand up. Everyone stand up. Everybody stand. Father, I lift my hands over this people. And Lord, this isn't so much a unique altar call to the altar, call it whatever we want to call it. But it's a divine opportunity for us to come before God today and allow the most primary healing that there is. And that's to be in oneness with God. Lord, help us to know that we don't get extra points from having the knowledge of Jesus or even having made a prayer of confession over him, but we need you right now to cleanse us. And Lord, what you're telling me right now, there's a cleansing stream of Jesus, of his Holy Spirit that he makes available right now. If that's what you need, I don't want you to wait on your neighbor. You come right now. Jesus is going to do it right now. You step out right now. Don't you wait for anybody. You come right now. Holy Spirit is going to bring you to this altar right now. You come right now. In Jesus' name, come. Come.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.